Things are heating up. This is an unhealthy season because nobody's sleeping that's a Blue Jays fan. Everybody's sleep is all just erratic all over the place. You're afraid to put your phone down. Blake and I, you know, Blake Murphy goes into the studio yesterday. He does Will Lou show, Raptor show, goes in. He goes, I'm worried about the Blue Jays doing something while I'm on air and I don't get it right away. Or I can't take a nap today because the Blue Jays might do something. And the Instagram account that we're all following, right? We're all following John Morosi. We're all following Jeff Pass. We're all following Jeff Blair and Shai Davidi and Ben Nicholson-Smith and all these people. But our next guest has been the incredible hit rate for the Blue Jays news. He has somebody deeply embedded in the Blue Jays who loves this man, who is willing to give this man the information, give him the intel. Carlos Baerga, we've been on a roller coaster ride with you for the last couple of days. Carlos Baerga 09 on Instagram. You all know it by now because we've all seen the graphics. I don't know if you do the graphics, if you've got a guy on your team that does the graphics. What are we doing here? But reporting this morning that, quote, sources assure us the team now has the best third baseman in Major League Baseball on their roster. They just managed to get Matt Chapman. Carlos Baerga joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. And what an honor it is, you know, to be with you guys today. It is like that. You guys have the best third baseman in the game right now, Matt Chapman. He just got traded. Maybe in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to be receiving for who he got traded today. But it's something special. I know that before the lockout came in December 1st, you guys were very close to get Jose Ramirez. So it was a 5 minutes before, you know, that thing happened, almost you guys get Jose Ramirez too. So you guys were looking for a third baseman, and I think you guys have one of the best ones right now.
So are you saying that, by your information, the Blue Jays were working hard for Jose Ramirez this morning? They didn't land him, and they moved on.
No, not this morning.
Earlier,
before we went to the trade line, you know, last year in July,
yep.
You know, when the trade deadline, in there 5 minutes before, it was so close to get Jose Ramirez. Something happened. The Cleveland step out, you know, of the trade, but you guys were looking for a third baseman to bring to the team. And today, this morning, you guys make a trade for Chapman. So that was a big thing, for the Blue Jays. I believe, adding this guy to the lineup is big for the organization. And I think it's showing everybody that the Toronto Blue Jays want to go back to the playoff, want to go back to the World Series.
Listen, they got Josh Donaldson from the Oakland A's. They got Marcus Semien from the Oakland A's. I would say that the track record here is pretty good. If you're a Blue Jays fan, you'd feel pretty good about acquiring Oakland A's. But yes, so you believe this is done. This is a certainty. We are going to find out here soon. Hopefully, while you're on the line. Hopefully, you know, this ends up happening and you tell us what the prospects are right now. But do you have any feel? Do you have any feel about the prospects just in terms of how much this was going to cost? Or is this a prospect-rich team? Do you have a feel that maybe somebody comes off the roster?
I think it's going to be two prospects that you guys going to be giving to the Oakland A's. You know, that's what I talked to my source, you know, that I have, and he's going to let me know maybe in the next couple of minutes, and I hope that if we're still here, we have it. But I think this is a great upgrade, you know, for the organization, for the team, and it's really good. You guys have been hot the last few days, you know, signing the pitcher kicker, Kikuchi, for 3 years, $36 million signing Kevin Gausman to add into the pitching staff. Now you got have a five great pitchers, you know, in the organization. When you have Berrío, Manoah, I believe G Rio gonna get back again, you know, to the track and be the G Rio. You guys, everybody know that he can pitch. And adding these two guys now. Now you guys have the best five pitchers in the American League.
So Carlos, you were kind of leading the way on Semien before on the Jays adding Yimi Garcia, but before the lockout, and now, you know, at one point it looked like maybe Freddie Freeman. Now it's Matt Chapman. And you said Jose Ramirez back before the lockout and maybe as far back as the trade deadline. You obviously get the sense that the Toronto Blue Jays are pretty all in here. How optimistic do you think this team is that an addition like Matt Chapman makes them a World Series contender?
Well, when you have the kind of talent that you guys have, when you guys finish one game to go to the playoff last year, just one game to get there, even the Springer lost so many games, you guys was there. You know, you can imagine now adding these guys, you know, to the lineup. I still believe that you need a lefty hitter too. That maybe this is not over yet today, or maybe tomorrow, that you can add Eddie Rosario, the guy that was the MVP for the playoff for the Atlanta Braves. You guys can add that guy too. You know, you need a lefty bat, you know, in that lineup, you know, to help. Because right now, the way I see it, Vigio is going to be the second baseman. So, you know, if he's going to be the second baseman, shortstop, Bichette. Well, the lineup is like Springer, Bichette, Vladimir, Teoscar, you know, Chapman, Gurriel, Kirk, and Vigio. You need one more lefty body there. That's why, you know, I know the Blue Jays they try everything very hard. So the people that's listening right now, they try very hard to sign Freeman. First of all, his family is from Canada. He represents Canada in the baseball classic. He was telling his, you know, the friends, the baseball player, that it was going to be unbelievable, you know, to play for, you know, a team for Toronto, because he know that kind of talent that you guys have here. So that's why, you know, I thought that, you know, that was going to be a key, but I think he asking for a lot of money. And I know that, you know, Toronto Blue Jays, that, you know, signing Gausman for $110 million, Berrios, you know, before, you know, like in November, signed Berrios for $131 million, signing Kikuchi for $36 million. You guys are, you know, putting some money to the team, you know, showing everybody that you guys want to go to the next level.
So we're talking to Carlos Baerga. Again, Carlos Baerga 09 on Instagram, has been all over the Blue Jays. First report, Marcus Semien deal, and now it is confirmed, Carlos. John Morosi, who you were speaking to yesterday on Instagram Live, I tuned in. You know, I watched Morosi. He's coming up after you. You guys had some chats that I didn't know because you guys spoke in Spanish, but I was impressed by Morosi's Spanish. Either way, I tried to tune in. I thought, hey, maybe these guys are going to be a crumb. I couldn't put on a translate. I needed some kind of a headset to figure it out. Either way, it was really great. Everybody obviously has to follow Carlos because, yeah, you're just plugged into the Blue Jays right now. It has been confirmed by Morosi. The Blue Jays are adding Matt Chapman. This is happening. Today is the day. They found their third baseman. Again, a gold glover, a platinum glover, whatever you want to call him. The best picket man in the game at third base is heading to Toronto from the Oakland A's. We're waiting to hear what the return is, and we will keep you posted. I know Carlos will keep us posted again on his Instagram, wherever. The Freddie Freeman thing, you said it. Hey, they wanted a lot of money, or he wanted a lot of money, which makes sense because look at the teams that he's been rumored to be in discussion with, right? It's the Yankees, it's the Red Sox, it's the Blue Jays, it's the Dodgers. Those are the four richest teams in baseball right now. So you did say 70%. You didn't say that it was confirmed. Yes. But it is interesting to see that team be willing to talk about that kind of money. I wonder what your feel is, Carlos, right now in terms of other moves. Because you mentioned, you're talking about Eddie Rosario and how that might make sense for this team. Is that the name you're hearing right now? Have you heard anything on Kyle Schwarber? Because his name has been very much linked to the Blue Jays as well.
Schwarber, too. No, Schwarber, too. Schwarber, too. Because now the Freeman may be off. I haven't said he's off. But maybe off, because now you are in Chapman, you know, you are in more money, you know, to the organization. I believe that Schwarber is more likely to be on the team because he can be the DH. You know, he can be the guy that's going to be the DH. And sometimes when you want to give a day off to Blady, now he can play for base too. So I believe that they're great. You need a big bat right in the middle of Blady and Teoscar. So, you know, somebody, a righty, they don't have to bring, you know, they don't have to bring another lefty or something like that. you know, between them. So I think Schwarber can be really good. He's a great hitter, you know, and I know a lot of people, you know, want Schwarber too. But I believe that Toronto Blue Jays can have that, can get that bat in there, and I think it's going to help them a lot.
When you mentioned Matt Chapman as the best third baseman in baseball defensively, just if you could put in context for us just how good he is. Like with Bo at shortstop and Bo Bichette improved so much last year, are the Jays in the discussion for the best left side of the infield in baseball now defensively?
I believe Bo Bichette's going to be, you know, because every year what I like about him, the work habits that he has, you know, the way he's taking care of his body, maintaining himself in shape, and I think, you know, every year is another experience that he has, and I think he's going to go to the next level. I believe this guy has the potential, you know, to be one of the greatest shortstop in the game, and that's why, you know, I say the Blue Jays, you know, when you see the lineup that you guys have, you know, this, you got 44 guys with 100 RBIs and 30 homers last year. No, there wasn't any team in baseball that had that kind of talent, and you guys have it in there. So, you know, Bradley going to have a monster year. He's in great shape. He came to spring training looking really good. And, you know, when I say to you, a lot of people was like doubting. I said, why you want to bring Freeman to the Toronto Blue Jays with Bradley to first baseman? And I believe they talked to Bradley, and they asked me, I said, if we bring Freeman here, you're going to be okay? I said, no, I don't have no problem. You know I was a third baseman when I came here. I played first base last year, and he did a great job. But, you know, adding that bat to the lineup, it was going to be special for them.
So, Carlos, we really appreciate you taking the time this morning, man. This is very, very exciting. Kudos on being first on the Matt Chapman side. And please continue to give us all that good Jays news at Carlos Baerga 09 on Instagram. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
You got it, my friend. If I receive the names, I'm going to text it to you guys, and you guys going to have it. God bless you guys. All the best. I see you this year over there. You got
absolutely. Okay. Que tengo un buen día, Carlos.
Oh, great Spanish. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Carlos Baerga.
What a nice guy.
Look, we got John Morosi coming on next. I had to at least give it a shot. He's going to come on here, and he's going to be speaking Spanish to us. He's speaking Spanish with Carlos, so I had to at least give it a try. JD, are you back with us?
So,
you are.
Yeah, I'm here. What a legend, first of all.
This is
a situation where now Carlos, what a win for Carlos, because if Freddie Freeman signs somewhere else, Blue Jays Twitter goes, oh, this guy, he made up a rumor, he did a thing, blah, blah. Gets ahead of it. Nails it out of the ballpark. Smashes it to the moon.
Not only nails it, sprinkles in a little extra on the way. To his credit, he had only said Freeman was about 70%. So he sprinkles in the little extra. By the way, Vlad was cool with this. By the way, they were close to Jose Ramirez before the lockout or at the trade deadline. You know, it's exciting. So John Morosi has reported, and again, he's going to join us momentarily here, that nothing off the projected opening day roster is outbound for the Blue Jays. I would expect Kevin Smith to be a part of this deal. He's kind of the extra infielder now. When you look at how the 40-man shapes up and how the depth shapes up, the way Morosi framed that, I don't believe Espinal or Biggio are outbound in this deal. Kevin Smith would then be the guy that, like we talked about earlier with how a Lourdes Gurriel fits for a potential team, a guy who can step in and probably play close to every day for a team that's rebuilding and maybe have some, hey, his value could be higher a year from now, 2 years from now. Kevin Smith, a prospect that some people have gotten pretty optimistic on over the last couple years, but hasn't really had a chance in the majors yet.
Yeah. Two prospects is what we just heard from Baerga. Our producer, Daniele, this is the most exciting day of his life, knowing that Baerga is going to send him what the prospects are and that we're all just waiting for Daniele to get that text from Baerga of what exactly this is. Follow at Daniele Media to get the breaking news. Let's see if he can beat Morosi, our next guest. Let's see if Baerga can beat Morosi to who the prospects are. But yeah, I think that the good thing about this, if you're a Toronto Blue Jays fan, is that Chapman's not going to cost you Martinez or Mourinho. That's not going to happen here. It would be pretty shocking. In fact, I would say that it would be one of the bigger shocks of the offseason if they end up moving one of those guys after all of the discussion that we've had about how high Toronto is on those two players, that they would move them for Chapman. The A's seem to be in a total rebuild. They've already made moves like trading away Bassett, obviously the Matt Olson trade a couple of days earlier. Interesting that both Alex Anthopoulos and the Jays front office both go out and get an Oakland A's guy. You know, who ends up getting the better trade here? Is it AA? Is it the Blue Jays front office? Who worked over the A's better, you know? By the way, Oakland, what a depressing place to be a fan of. Just, you're always good, but you don't win. And anytime you fall in love, like, how do you, you can never buy a jersey with a name on the back if you're an Oakland A's fan, right? Unless you're going way back. Unless you're going back to get a Ricky Henderson. You can't in good conscience pay for a jersey with a name. And if you're also an Oakland fan, you're terrified because you just saw what happened with Semien, local kid, you know, raised on the ballparks that are right across the street, and he goes to Toronto and he rakes and he has an MVP caliber season. Obviously, Josh Donaldson was incredible here, although don't taint your legacy by being good with the Yankees, Josh. I'm just saying, don't do it. There's nothing he can do to be a Blue Jays legend than be terrible in a playoff series against him this year. Just suck there. John Morosi joins us on the line. John, we just spoke to Carlos Baerga. He thinks that it's two prospects for the Toronto Blue Jays that are going outbound. You have reported that they are not guys that are on the roster. What are you hearing? What's the latest? Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning. And by the way, you're about to hear me try to do live radio while also getting my three kids ready for school. So if there are interruptions, that's what it is. But a busy day, and full credit to Carlos for breaking the news this morning on the Chapman deal. I was actually on his Instagram live show last night, which was a lot of fun. He's an excellent host. So, but to your point earlier on Donaldson, I mean, it's obviously a natural storyline, but it bears mentioning. It's, of course, the last time the Jays brought in Oakland's third baseman, he won the MVP in year one. So certainly, why not try it again? Chapman, an elite defender, two-time Platinum Glove winner. And I'll say this. You know, we certainly had heard and talked a lot about the Freddie Freeman possibility in recent days. I did have some concerns about what that would do to the infield defense, and when you think about that would put Vladdy at third, obviously, and then Freeman at first if you went that route. Chapman is one of the best defensive players in the world, especially as an infielder. I think he's going to make Bo better on the left side. He's going to, I think, overall just give a real athleticism and energy to the way this team plays defense. When you think about the pitchers coming in, and Kikuchi is, of course, one of them, Gausman as well, I just think this is the right path for the Jays to take. He certainly gives them power and presence there, maybe a similar profile offensively, maybe not quite as complete of a hitter as Teoscar, but maybe something like that. So I think defensively, I like what this does for their run prevention as much as it does for the run scoring. And he's going to be on a team now where he can be a real complementary piece. When you think about what Vlad can do, and Bo and Teoscar and Springer, if you hope for a healthy year from George, I just think from an age profile standpoint, love Freddie Freeman, but I think that Chapman fits this team better when you look at it in full.
We're talking to John Morosi, and this insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. John, you tweeted out that the Toronto Blue Jays are not expected to give up players from their projected opening day roster in acquiring Matt Chapman from the Oakland Athletics. Have you heard names yet on the prospect capital or a number of prospects that might be outbound? Kevin Smith is a name that I heard pretty quickly come up in a framework. Are you hearing anything on what the return looks like?
So I have not heard anything in particular about which prospect is the key guy going in the deal. I would say that if it is Smith or one of the other infielders, it would not surprise me. I think one key thing that we know about this team, the Blue Jays overall with their prospect depth, is that seven of their top 10 prospects are middle infielders effectively. Martinez, Groshans, Lopez, Iraldo, Machado, Smith, and Beltre. Seven of 10. And so when you have that amount of young talent, and they're all, not all, but at least a couple of them are likely to be arriving in the major leagues in the next couple of years, it certainly, and you obviously already have a shortstop that you like a lot and hope to be part of the long-term future, it's you look at it and say, we can give up from this depth. And so when you look at Oakland's club as well, and their needs, it would not surprise me at all if at least one of the players is one of those infielders in the top 10 of the Jays system. Again, I would doubt that it would be Aurelius Martinez. I would not expect it's going to be him. But we could see, I think, probably any other of those top 10 players could be in the mix there among the infielders, and I think we have to wait and see which one it is. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was Smith or someone in that same top-tier class of middle infielders in the Jays system.
Yeah, either way, it feels like you're not moving off of one of those top two guys that we discussed that
right.
Would have been maybe in a Jose Ramirez trade when we had talked to you earlier in the week. But yeah, Chapman,
right.
Obviously the asking price is quite down from that, considering that the Jays aren't even giving up anything that's a certainty. They're not giving up anything off of the roster, according to Carlos Baerga, according to you. So yeah, we're going to wait and see how this plays out over the next little while. But John, actually, I'm never going to make fun of your pronunciations again, because I watched you on that Instagram live with Baerga last night because I was hoping to mine some information, but then I went, oh my God, Morosi's actually going to speak Spanish here the entire time. He's not going to do translate. All right, fine. All right, Morosi, you're the real deal, buddy. You're the real deal. Not only are you a beauty in multiple languages, but two is... This kind of was a Blue Jays fan. This was almost Blue Jays fan fiction a day ago, to me anyways. People were talking about, hey, maybe you go get Chapman. But it wasn't something that had been really bandied around by anybody that was credible, right? So how did we get here? Because the Freeman rumor, obviously, and you mentioned how this might end up being better for them, but we had kicked around Ramirez so many times. Does this happen because Cleveland's asking price is so high on Ramirez? Where does this come about? Where did these conversations even begin?
Yeah, interesting question. And for me, I think you go back, and certainly it was a different front office that made the Donaldson deal all those years ago, but there has been certainly a lot of deals between the Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins team, and then going back to the Billy Bean, David Force team for years. I mean, they certainly they know each other very, very well. I would expect that the Jays, when they have a need, and certainly they've had a need to get a third baseman or an infielder of some kind just based on the loss of Semien, they tend to cast a wide net, and then they'll selectively get aggressive when they really feel like they've got a guy that makes sense for them. And to your point, Cleveland has sent some mixed signals about how serious they are about contending and their desires of still making a run at this thing one more time with Ramirez in the lineup. I don't think it's a given that Ramirez is going to be dealt this winter or this spring now that we're in the month of March. I think it's entirely possible that he begins the season as part of that club. And if Cleveland was truly serious about tearing this thing down to the studs, they would have been trading Ramirez and Bieber this week in the same way that Cincinnati and Oakland are making moves, and they're not. And so that should tell us that Cleveland is not punting on the season in that respect. So maybe Ramirez was not quite as available as we thought. Freeman, I think for the Jays, whatever they were offering or talking with Freddie about probably priced in the reality that if you went the Freddie route, you were going to layer in another multi-year contract for a position player in his 30s, along with Springer from a year ago, and you were going to compromise on some level just based on moving Vladdy to third, your infield defense at a time when you're welcoming in some new pitchers and there's risk there. So I would expect that the Jays did not go to some exorbitant level with their offer to Freeman, and I think that all along they look at a team like Oakland and say, wow, they're moving basically everybody that's available. And, of course, Chapman's in the same service time class as Olsen. It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me at all, actually, if the Jays had also talked with Cincinnati about the Winker-Suarez pairing that ended up going to Seattle, because Winker would have given them a lefty bat in the outfield and Suarez would have played third, same exact situation as Chapman. And again, Chapman is coming off a down year by his standards. He struck out 200 times. So I think that whether it's getting a chance to work with Guillermo Martinez and the hitting coaches and the staff there with Toronto, change of scenery could sometimes help. Obviously, we know Toronto's a great place to hit. There's an element of risk here, because Chapman is coming off a bit of a down year and did seem to need that change of scenery last season. So I believe all along Chapman was someone that the Jays had their eye on. He wasn't maybe as perfect of a solution as Ramirez because, of course, Ramirez is a switch hitter, moves around the diamond a bit more, and Chapman's coming off a down year. But this is a good trade, because I love what it does for the Jays' run prevention as much as it does the run scoring, and where he's going to hit in the lineup, I think is conducive to him bouncing back in a place that's already a very good place to hit. So certainly I'll preface that by saying I'm still not sure on exactly what the return is going back, but I agree that we're not going to be seeing Moreno or one of the top two guys going in this deal. And when you're getting somebody who's won two platinum gloves for 2 years, that's a good move, and I'm sure that the overall transaction will be one that's favorable or at least neutral from the standpoint of what the Jays are giving up to get Matt Chapman.
We'll let you go on this, John. What's the latest on Kyle Schwarber, and is there another option out there? Carlos Baerga mentioned that Eddie Rosario could be a fit for the Blue Jays. Is there a latest on Schwarber in particular?
Yeah, so Schwarber, obviously I think that the acquisition of Chapman probably in some ways ends the real strong possibility of him going to Toronto. I still think that maybe he could fit, of course, left field, DH, if you want to do it that way. I do think in general a lefty bat would make a lot of sense. So maybe I shouldn't say end, but certainly minimize at least a little bit. Schwarber's getting a lot of interest, and I do think that maybe he is trying to wait until Freeman goes and makes his decision, because then he can sort of circle back around to the teams that don't get him. I think Boston really enjoyed having Schwarber there last year, and maybe he ends up going back there if they don't get Freeman. I think with Rosario, I've always liked him. You know, obviously he came up huge for Atlanta in the playoffs last year, so you've got that additional playoff performance and pedigree that he's now bringing to the table. I think Charlie Montoyo knows him well, of course, both from Puerto Rico, so I think there's a lot to like there about that familiarity, and I think Eddie is a player that he arrived in the major leagues young. He's never been a big on-base guy, but he does have talent. I've always liked his hitting tool. I think he's an exceptional player overall from that standpoint. So I think Rosario makes a lot of sense with the Jays if he doesn't go back to Atlanta, where, of course, they're still trying to fill up that outfield and really just kind of turn the page in what's been a whirlwind week, of course, with the Braves getting Olsen and then extending him. So we'll see if Chapman follows his friend's trademark there and finds a way to get an extension right away in Toronto. I'm not sure if he'll do that, but I think it's a very exciting week for the Jays, for sure.
John Morosi, thanks so much for taking the time out. Thanks for all the details here, and just super thrilled to talk transactions instead of CBA with you. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and good luck getting the kids off to school in time, man.
I appreciate it, and based on what I saw last night, it looks to me like the Leafs' goaltending situation is fantastic. All set, no more worries.
Yeah,
good to go. And
how do you say the name?
Does it go down Bloor or Young? I can't remember which direction it goes.
Listen, we don't need that kind of attitude. But tell us how to pronounce the goalie's name, because you're the pronunciation. Now we're like,
isn't it Sjogren? Isn't that how you say it? Sjogren, right?
Yeah, that's how we correct. Think we say it. Sjogren.
There you go. I'm gonna go with Sjogren too.
Okay. All right, John. You're the man.
John Morosi.
Guys, have a great day. Thanks for the call.
That Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Listen, biggest loser of the day, Eric Sjogren, who gets completely has the spotlight just ripped away from him. Carlos Baerga goes, I don't care who you are. I'm going to take the spotlight from you at 8:00 in the morning, okay? People aren't even going to get to wake up to Eric Sjogren, all right? There's not even a world where that becomes – nope, gone. It's all on Baerga. It's now on Morosi. It's on Prospect Watch. We're keeping it here. We're going Blue Jays wire to wire. It's going to be Blue Jays, Blue Jays, Blue Jays. We'll throw in our wake and rake picks, but we're going to add Jim Bowden after the break too, because I think that this is now the interesting part of the conversation to me is, one – How did this come about, right? How many things do we look at from a where did this trade come from standpoint? Because the Blue Jays seemingly were going all in on the offense and the Freddie Freeman type of deal and the Kyle Schwarber type of deal. And now I'm just reading between the lines here, okay? It seems when Baerga brings up Rosario, he's saying that from an informed place, that this is now where the target is going to go. Listen, if you're not trusting Baerga now, then I don't know what to tell you. The guy's obviously completely plugged in a way that nobody else is with this front office right now. And, nobody's embedded like Baerga.
Rosario's a guy who is close with Baerga and close with Charlie Montoyo. Obviously the Puerto Rican baseball fraternity there, the history with the World Baseball Classic teams and everything.
Really, Charlie is the source there. But yes.
Well, I'm just saying that there are. it could be Josh Palacios. Vlad follows him on Instagram.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Who knows? I'm just saying there is a familiarity there that he would be able to speak to. Rosario, of course, a guy primarily a left fielder, but has spent a little bit of time in center or right, even played some third base, left-handed bat. Again, not really helping the potential OBP drag at the bottom of the lineup, but a guy who doesn't strike out a ton, a guy with a little bit of pop, and a guy who fits defensively and as another lefty bat late in the lineup.
All I'm saying is after he mentioned that name and after Morosi just spoke on the market for Schwarber, and the fact that Chapman now is more money on the books, it feels like that is now becoming more of a long shot. Or maybe part of this move is preemptively saying, hey, Freeman and Schwarber are going to sign soon, and neither one of them is going to be with us. And so getting ahead of the market and having Chapman as a hit here, that's a very important piece of this. Either way, I really hope that the Jays can still figure out the lefty bat with more on base than Rosario, because that still to me is they need – this seems like such a stupid thing to say when you say things like this and sports are so simple, but they need a guy who can get on base. They need a better on base guy. They need a lefty bat who can be on base. That still seems to be the magic ticket. I hope they're not out on Schwarber, but reading between the lines of those two guys, it feels like Schwarber has become a little bit more of a long shot. Before we break, all I'm going to say is Matt Chapman's defense, because I've seen some people going, oh, he's the best third baseman they've had since Donaldson. He is astronomically better than Josh Donaldson at third base.
You'd have to back to Roland.
Yes. We're not talking about some guy who's a gold glove. We're talking about the gold glover at the position. Like, the standard at the position.
I think Ben Nicholson-Smith tweeted out some advanced metric that evaluates defense. And obviously defense is imperfect. But Ben Nicholson-Smith, per Fangraphs, he was a 99th percentile defender based on outs above average. So that's basically another way of saying he's the best.
Yeah, he's the best. This isn't. You're right. Scott Rolen is the only guy that you can compare him to that's played the bag here. Like, this is what is going to be unbelievable. This guy's going to make highlights here. Okay, you're going to see a lot of GIFs of Matt Chapman floating around. He's going to make Blue Jays in 30 a lot with the glove. Okay, you're going to watch Blue Jays in 30. He's going to be there. He's going to lead highlight packs a lot this summer. He can pick it. He can pick it. Pick it. Pick it. So we're going to continue to wait to hear what these prospects are. And once we do, we're going to keep breaking down this trade. We got Jim Bowden, former general manager, front office evaluator, someone who has been giving letter grades to trades. Let's see if we can get one from him in the next 10 minutes. It's the Fan Morning Show. Matt Chapman, a Toronto Blue Jay. Woo! This is when it's fun. Go Blue Jays. It's Fan Morning Show. JD Bungus, Blake Murphy, Justin Cuthbert, Sportsnet 59 and The Fan.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan, and what a morning it is. It's Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Justin Cuthbert. If you are just tuning in, the Toronto Blue Jays are finalizing a deal to acquire Gold Glove third baseman Matt Chapman from the Oakland Athletics. We just had Carlos Baerga and John Morosi on to talk about it with us. We're going to be joined by Jim Bowden shortly to continue talking about it. We'll have a couple other Jays voices in the 9 o'clock hour as we wait to hear what the return going out is. John Morosi told us he doesn't believe it's Aurelvis Martinez or Gabriel Moreno. I've heard the name Kevin Smith out there. John Morosi also said that it's nobody off what was projected to be the opening day roster. So if you're a Blue Jays,
two prospects.
Yeah, if you're a Blue Jays fan, it's an exciting morning. If you're a fan of the Wake and Rake, we're going to do a rapid fire one here because, again, we're going to be joined by Jim Bowden to talk about the Blue Jays trade momentarily. We go 2-for-3 last night. Arizona-Montreal hits the over about 4 seconds into the game. Justin, the Dallas Stars do not score 2.5 against the Leafs, JD, which is, hey, that's a team loss I think we'll all take to get the Eric Schalgren moment and the Eric Schalgren discussion. And then the Boston Bruins eke one out in overtime, for me. A bit of a weird night here because we haven't had a lot of time to prep because everything's going haywire. So very, very quickly, Justin, what do you like tonight?
Have to be quick, but I need clarification. Is minus 200 acceptable or does it have to be 199?
Boy, you're really pushing it, but okay, yeah, it's acceptable, I guess. Like,
it's acceptable on the condition you stop lying about your win-loss record when we do these segments.
I'm telling you, I think you're – well, I know we got to be quick, but your spreadsheet wrong, because my rationale behind the Tampa Bay Lightning pick months ago was that they were plus money and they shouldn't have been. I'm going because I didn't like that response, minus 125, Calgary Flames on the puck line, so they got to win by two. It is at – just on the regulation money line, it's minus 200, but – the Flames should handle the New Jersey Devils. They are the epitome of professionalism right now in, under Daryl Sutter in terms of beating teams that they should, and they are far better than the Devils. So I will take them to hopefully give me some good karma and get that empty netter if they need it. But they roll through New Jersey, so I got them on the puck line.
All right, JD, what do you got for us?
Well, first of all, I got to say that I'm in a bad way. I think this is my worst stretch ever in the Wake and Rake. I wasn't going to say anything,
but I can confirm that, yeah.
Yeah, this is I'm in a stretch. I think if I had to guess, I don't even want to know if I'm wrong, unless I'm wrong in a positive way. I think I've lost four of my last five. That's the way I am. And the worst part about this...
Do you want to know the actual answer?
No. It's worse, then no. I think I've lost four of my last five. The worst part about this, though, is yesterday, I gave out five picks yesterday. Four of them were right. The only one that was wrong was stupid. Again, missing on the Wake and Rake, giving the one that is the best bet. And I'm getting people in the DMs. I'm getting people in the mentions. And it's like, yeah, I got to get off the Cedar. I actually also like the Flames, but I'm going to go with a very, very similar thing. I'm going to go with the let's see what this line is. Let's see how it's moved. Let's make sure that this is all right and that this is back on track. Yes, we are there. We are going with the Tampa Bay Lightning in regulation at the Seattle Kraken. I need this one. I got to get off the schneid. I'm not even giving bonus picks again today because the bonus picks have been too good, and I can't have people fade in my real pick with the bonus picks. I need the juju right, so let's go back to the well. Let's go back to Tampa Bay.
We also we just don't have time for you to do all the bonus picks. If we did, you know, I might be inclined to talk about how much I had on Texas Southern in the in the 16-16 play-in game yesterday, which like was a nice momentary win. And then I was like, "You are a piece of garbage, Blake."
I hit every single over yesterday, and I hit my college basketball pick that I gave out to people. Just devastating, devastating loss on the Wake and Rake yesterday. Blake, what do you got? What are you tying us up with?
Denver Nuggets -5.5 at the Washington Wizards. Pretty straightforward. Yep. Nuggets are good coming off that win against the Sixers. They've been a little up and down, but Nikola Jokic is the best two or three players in this game. The Washington Wizards have nothing. They continue to deal with injuries and just generally being bad. Aaron Gordon's questionable, but even without Aaron Gordon, I think you'd like the Denver Nuggets to win this one. And one small note on the Nuggets to look ahead to, Jamal Murray now practicing with the G League team as he ramps up for a potential return down the stretch here. So the Nuggets
could be a good night for the Raptors, by the way. Just
yeah,
like
-1.5.
But not only -1, or well, I have them at -2.5, but just quickly, the Raptors I like tonight, betting them against the Clippers, because I think it's a statement game for the Raps. But also, we've talked about the standings. Philly favored at Cleveland tonight. I like Philly on the money line. And also, the Chicago Bulls, who are seeming a little bit more vulnerable, on the road at Utah, not looking pretty shaky lately. Just an opportunity spot for the Raptors tonight. So something to mention before now we get back into baseball.
Certainly a scenario where we talk about the Raptors tomorrow, and they are tied for sixth and only two games back of fifth. So Wake and Rake, just very, very quickly, is Nuggets -5.5, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Calgary Flames -1.5. We're now going to pivot back to baseball. Joining us now, Jim Bowden, former Major League Baseball general manager. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing well, man. Very exciting time here. Very exciting time with the news this morning that the Blue Jays are finalizing a deal to acquire Matt Chapman. What have you heard on this front, and how much do you like the Chapman fit with the Toronto Blue Jays?
Yeah, I love the fit. And first of all, congrats to Carlos Baerga, who broke the story. I love that too, by the way, former player of mine. I think this is a phenomenal trade. I understand there are a couple of really good prospects heading Oakland's way. Apparently they have not been informed yet, and we're still pending physicals, but this is a huge deal for Toronto. because Matt Chapman, clearly the best third baseman in the league defensively, platinum winner at the position, tremendous range, incredible. And what he does for a pitching staff on a nightly basis, just amazing. I mean, he just takes outs away. And so instead of a team having to give up 27 outs, Chapman makes it about 25 every night, right? Because they'll take two hits away. And to have him and Bo Bichette on the left side of the infield, it just bodes really well for winning. And, you know, he's going to hit 30 home runs in that ballpark for sure, maybe more. And to add that power to go along with Guerrero and Bichette and Teoscar and Springer and Grichik, I mean, this is just absolutely incredible. It doesn't solve the fact that the lineup is too right-handed, but perhaps Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins aren't done. Perhaps Kyle Schwarber will be the next acquisition after this. They still need a left-hand hitter, but Chapman, for me, game changer.
Yeah, so Baerga was on with us earlier this morning. Again, congrats to him. It was a great hit. He told us that he believes that it's two prospects. We just spoke to Morosi. He believes the prospects are, you know, not on the roster, that these are guys that are off of it. You just said that they're higher end. We're trying to now basically put the pieces together here, right? Like, we're taking now information from three different people. Do you have a sense of how high up the Jays prospect ranking this goes? Because we seemingly had ruled out that it would be Aralvis Martinez and Gabe Moreno. We were starting to throw around names like Kevin Smith. People have mentioned Jordan Groshans. Is that the type of tier that you're looking at here? Have you heard a name?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of those shortstop third basemen is going to be part of the package going back. I know they were working on a pitcher in this deal as well. But again, I don't like to speculate until the players are told and it's announced, but it's going to be a decent package going back. But, you know, you have to give up something to get something. And, you know, I'll be frank. I mean, the Chapman piece is significant enough that, you know, I'm picking the Blue Jays to win this division in a very tough division, but I think this separates a little bit. I think it's really to watch Chapman on a nightly basis, and Blue Jay fans are just going to love watching, because he can come in on the ball and go to his left, go to his right. He can go out in the shallow left field and catch the ball. And to have him and Bichette on the left side, I mean, it's a vacuum cleaner. There's not going to be any holes for those right-hand hitters to try to pull a ball through that infield. So this is a special acquisition. And look, you have to give up good prospects. I know fans hate to give them up, and they're going to be upset. But right now, when you're that close to a World Series, when you're that close, you make moves like this.
I'll be honest, Jim, I think that this fan base right now is in a pretty good spot with prospects where they recognize the window, they recognize that something special is happening here, and yeah, I think that the first time Matt Chapman saves a run or has one of his signature plays at third, people are going to go, oh, that's fine. We're not going to think twice about whatever, Kevin Smith or whoever ends up going out in this deal. So I know you don't like to speculate, but you're giving out trade grades right now up at The Athletic. I was reading them just last night, and it's terrific stuff. They're must-read articles. Let's just say that the Blue Jays have given up two high-end prospects, like you said, two decent prospects, and they've received Matt Chapman. What grade are you giving this? What letter grade are you giving this trade?
Well, it's hard for me to do that without knowing exactly who the prospects are going back, right? So I need to wait till that's announced. But, you know, I would anticipate if it's the level of prospects that we're talking about that the Blue Jays would get an A, clearly.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a no-brainer. So, you know, look, I'm expecting them to give up, you know, significant talent here. Don't get me wrong. I think the two prospects are, I'm told they're really good prospects. Oakland's really happy with them. But you're getting a star player. And I know people are going to look at his batting average from last year. You know, he's not a 210 hitter. You know, he's going to hit 240, 250. He's going to hit you 30 home runs. And then he's going to have this platinum glove out there. Not a gold glove, a platinum glove out there, right? So this is a special day in Toronto, not just because it's Vladdy's birthday. This is a special day because Vladdy's birthday gets to celebrate with Matt Chapman. It's going to make him a better defensive first baseman too, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, that's a really great point. And that's all we wanted was just a little bit of validation. I just know it's tough, but yeah, you're on radio in Toronto. Give us an A. That was nice of you to do. Thank you, Jim. The other part of this equation, though, is he doesn't address the left-handed bat situation, which is what we've been hearing over and over and over again. It's why they were interested in Freddie Freeman. It's why they were interested in Kyle Schwarber. We're kind of getting the sense this morning from both Baerga and Morosi that Schwarber might be more of a long shot for the Blue Jays right now. Are you hearing the same? Where are you at with the Blue Jays and their hope to add still left-handed power or left-handed on base?
Yeah, I mean, I think left-handed on base is what you need. You don't have to worry about power. Toronto's going to have more fireworks than any team in the league, so you don't have to worry about that long ball. I think you need a left-handed bat. You need a left-hand bat, especially when you're facing teams that have a late-end bullpen with nasty sliders, right? I mean, the good thing about the Blue Jays is their right-hand hitters, you know, hit lefties and righties, so it's not that issue. It's just a matter of you really want to have one left-hand bat in the middle to break it up. So I still think Kyle Schwarber's a really good fit for them, and if it's not them, I have great confidence that at some point Mark Shapiro will make a deal somewhere, somehow, and get a left-handed hitter. And whether that player ends up at second base or whether he ends up at DH or the outfield, you know, there's a lot of talent on this team. Maybe you have to trade a major league proven talent that's a right-hand hitter for a proven talent that's a left-hand hitter. Maybe it has to be that kind of deal if it's not free agency. But I have great confidence in Mark and Ross that they'll get that. But with the job they've done with this team, they've done an incredible job with this team. They'll get that final piece.
It doesn't have to be today either, right? You can address right. things still during the season once, you know, hey, teams get a better look at your prospects and you get a better look at just where your strengths and weaknesses lie. You know, maybe Biggio takes a step, maybe he doesn't. We had also heard the name Eddie Rosario out there. Have you heard anything on what Eddie Rosario's market is? And I know to your point, it's not the OBP play that a Schwarber or a Freeman would be. But do you get any sense he's an option for the Blue Jays as well?
I don't know if he's an option or not, to be honest with you. I've had no intel with Eddie Rosario and his free agent process, but I do know that if Rosario wanted to accept the role of being a part-time DH, he'd be a great fit. And that's what he is for me. I don't like him in left field. I'll stick with Gurriel, thank you very much. But I do believe that he would be a very good platoon, you know, left-hand hitter in the DH spot. So it would be a fit, but I have no intel on Rosario and the teams that are in on him at this point.
Jim, we really appreciate your time this morning. Again, thank you for the validation of the letter grade A. We are taking it. We are rolling with it, and we are all excited. Thanks for joining us today, man.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. That's Jim Bowden, former GM. Someone who may listen. I'm not giving up on Schwarber till it's done, right? Because it's too perfect for this roster right now. If you've added Matt Chapman, then break the bank, okay? Don't let Schwarber go back to the Red Sox. Don't let him go to the Phillies. Offer him more money. I would actually feel as though, okay, we talked about this with Brunt earlier today about ownership and how they're really pushing for all in and they're willing to spend money. And Chapman, I don't know what, this is another part of it, and we're going to talk to Ben Nicholson-Smith on the other side of the break, but he is, Matt Chapman's deal next year, he's up for his final year of arbitration. And then he's an unrestricted free agent. He's 31 years old. I don't know if he has a long-term future here, if this is basically a two-year stopgap where Chapman comes to Toronto and he's basically Semien times two, right? They went out and they acquire a guy who plays two seasons here, but they're still going to have to pay him next year, and I don't know what the money looks like just quite yet. But either way, as of right now, it's less than $10 million. So does that really change the parameters of what your salary situation should have been? To me, it shouldn't really change what you thought was going to happen with Schwarber, because you already knew that that was the market for Schwarber and you needed an infielder anyways. So the idea that Toronto is adding this, like, this is the perfect scenario to go add Kyle. He sits there in the middle of your order, he breaks up those righty bats, and all of a sudden a guy like Chapman ends up hitting, what, seven for you now? Which is insane, because he's going to hit 30 bombs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Either way, it's six or seven. He's not getting higher than that. And he's going to hit 30 bombs. Either way, this is more pressure for them to go get Kyle Schwarber. This is more pressure for them to add that stud lefty bat that does sit in the middle of the lineup. Because now you add that, and you are really looking at a damn near perfect baseball team. Like, that's what we're talking about right now. Damn near perfect baseball team. Find me the holes. Find me the let up.
Yeah.
Find me that in the rotation. Find me that in the batting order. Go
Here's
the
there. Thing. It's a long baseball season. There's going to be a blown save or two. There's going to be a day Ryu doesn't look like he has it. We got a lot ahead. But
Chapman,
man,
changes Ryu's career.
It is
Chapman just changes Ryu's career.
Any of the guys who are ground ball oriented, right? Which, you know, maybe a Kikuchi isn't, but maybe the pitch mix. We talked to Caleb Joseph the other day about him potentially using that split change a little bit more, and that's a potential ground ball pitch. Like, this is, you like it for the Jays pitchers, especially the guys who work down. Let's take a break. Let's talk to Ben Nicholson-Smith on the other side. We'll talk about Matt Chapman. We'll try to get a sense of what the prospect capital may be. The Toronto Blue Jays in the finalization process of a deal for Oakland A's Gold Glove third baseman, Matt Chapman. All that's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.